NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Sup, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les.
And today I will finally be bringing you a case I've been sitting on for months because it was actually suggested to me again by my partner because he's a little metalhead. Wow. And I love him.
It's just so funny to me that he suggests so many things when he's like not a true crime person. He's like, yeah, here's a murder.
He just has like random knowledge when it comes to music. And he's like, I find this very interesting. And he actually told me this like case when we started dating a long time ago. And, you know, back then I didn't have a podcast. And now I do. And so I'm here.
Now listen to me talk.
Yeah. So some trigger warnings for this episode. Obviously there is murder. There is death of teenagers. There is some hinting at sexual assault. And then Nazis.
Nazi. Okay.
Lovely. I love the Nazi part of our podcast where I get to bash them. Just kidding. That sounded like I was about to say it. I don't. I really don't.
Be very careful about how you finish that with one word. So, talking about some sources here, some of the websites I used were All That's Interesting, Screamfest. There's a book called Legend of Bodom, and then Reddit's page Unsolved Mysteries from the user Kinky Little Paradox.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm glad that's your name, man.
Yeah. Good job.
All right, Kinky Little Paradox.
You're now on a podcast. So, as you probably got from my sources, you may have heard of the metal band Children of Bodom. If you're a fan, you may know that the band named themselves after a very real crime that took place in the 1960s that is famous in the band's hometown of Espoo, Finland. Some may argue that this is the most famous case in Finland's history. So
that sounds about that. Right.
Yes. The Lake Bodom murders took place on June 4th, 1960, when four friends decided to go camping on the shore of Lake Bodom. 15-year-olds, and I'm going to butcher their fucking name, so I'm really sorry, but Mela Ermeli Bjorklund and Anja Tukeli Maki, really sorry, set out with their 18-year-old boyfriends Seppo and Taro Boisman and Nils Wilhelm Gustafsson.
These are some names, man. Yeah. I'm here for it.
After this, I don't care as much, so I'm sorry. They set up camp on a well-known and well-founded campsite along the shore, and for the rest of the afternoon, everything went really smoothly. The two couples enjoyed their time in nature, and they were just, like, fucking around on the beach doing teen things, whatever. There's some talk that they were drinking, but that's normal.
Right, they're teenagers.
Yeah.
On the beach.
Right. I would drink.
Good time.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm drinking right now.
Yeah. I'm not even at a fucking beach right now.
Don't need an excuse.
I don't need no goddamn beach to get drunk.
Watch me.
They later turned in for the night and slept blissfully until the early morning on June 5th when chaos broke out and would alter their lives forever.
No.
Sometime between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., the sleeping teenagers were stabbed multiple times and beaten. Mela, Anja, and Seppo were all killed in the tent. Nell survived and dragged himself out of the tent, but he suffered a concussion, a fractured jaw, broken and fractured facial bones, bruises to his face, and a deep knife wound to his forehead.
Oh my God, the forehead?
The forehead.
Jesus, the deep knife, like, went through the skull?
I don't think it went through the skull. I think it, like, just gashed his forehead really badly.
Dude, this is
and face
Jason
wounds
shit.
Bleed, like, really badly.
Oh, yeah,
so badly.
That's, like, the story of Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. Teenagers camping at the lake. Yeah, I guess.
It's just Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
It's just Camp Crystal Lake.
Fuck. The Bodom murders are actually all Jason. So the scene was spotted by a group of boys who had been bird watching at 6 a.m. and they saw the collapsed tent and reported seeing a blonde man walking away from the scene. The bodies, however, were not discovered until 11 a.m. and reported to police who arrived an hour later.
Why the fuck did it take them an hour to arrive?
This is a small town.
Well, what if they're like camping way out there? You know,
they're not. That's true. They're not.
No?
This is like you know how some of the reservoirs here have like set campgrounds?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like it takes like tops 15 minutes from the entrance of the park to get to those campgrounds. It's very similar to that, where like there's like a little gatehouse just off the road and then you're at the lake.
Immediately I'm like,
the ranger
did
it.
Police do.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm jaded by this podcast.
We are severely.
I know, me too, dude.
I know. As the investigation began, it became clear that the teenagers had not been attacked inside the tent, but rather had been stabbed and beaten through the outside of the tent with an unknown blunt object, since the weapon was never recovered.
Through the tent?
I'm just gonna
This
say.
Is the one thing I'm terrified of whenever,
like,
I go camping.
Thanks, I'm not gonna go camping anymore.
Like, legit, they just got stabbed through the tent.
Just wanna say, this tastes like horchata now.
Perfect.
No, okay, when we used to go camping, my mom would tell me stories of the hatchet lady coming to kill people.
Yes.
Oh my god,
because
no,
I
really?
Was terrified of the wilderness, and I was like the most anxious fucking child in the goddamn
the
world.
The hatchling slash
yeah,
slaying.
Exactly. So I'd be like, do we have enough gas? Do we have food? Do you know where we are? And she'd be like, if you don't shut up, the hatchet lady's gonna get you.
I'd be like, trauma.
Oh my god. And now I hate camping. Coincidence? I think not.
So the police, while they were investigating, noticed that certain items had been stolen from the group, like the keys to their motorcycles, wallets, clothing, and a pair of shoes that had been taken and hidden 500 meters away.
Why?
No reason.
If a Wolverine creature was personified, this is it. They're like an asshole. They're like, let me just kill these guys for fun. And hey, these shoes kind of fit me. Bye.
So, despite this being a crime scene, as we are familiar with, the police did not close off the area and allowed police and civilians to trample evidence.
60s cops are literally Scooby-Doo. They're
it's
like
they have a list of
that was the best sound.
Yeah, seriously. It's like they have a list of what not to do,
and they just
and they're just like
checking
I thought
them
they
off.
Said what to do. Weird.
Oh no.
I'm Jared. I'm 19, and I can't read.
That's it. So soldiers were also invited onto the crime scene to try and assist and search for the other items that were missing, but they were never recovered. Police also failed to cite or record certain details of the crime scene. So they couldn't even like recreate or even remotely tell you what the original crime scene looked like.
Wow. Because
on top of police and civilians coming by being like, hey, what's going on? The fucking soldiers were invited and just trampled on through being like, yeah, we're helping. Mela had suffered the most injuries out of any of the teenagers. She had been stabbed repeatedly, even after death, and Jesus was found on top of the collapsed tent, undressed from the waist down.
Wait. Yeah, no need to fucking...
So they were beaten, like, from the outside of the tent, but she was found outside with no clothes on?
They were beaten and stabbed from outside of the tent, and then she's found later on top of the tent.
That literally makes zero sense. Why?
Was she
sexually assaulted?
Someone?
Yes.
Fucking...
Well, that's where I said that there's the hinting at, because nowhere, because they didn't record anything, they didn't say
this
straight out
them.
That she was, but she was missing her clothing from the waist down.
My money
and
is the police.
So it's kind of hinted that she was taken out of the tent.
Like, after the
crime. And I
touch
on this more later.
Okay.
Are you saying she was taken out of the tent by the perpetrator themselves, or
yes.
was taken out of the tent? Okay. While they
yes.
were searching the ground.
That is kind of what is being said. So, as I said, I'll get into that more. Police began to look intensely for the killer and had many suspects over the years. One of these suspects was Vladimir... Okay, I forgot that. I'm not done with names, and I'm
Vladimir.
Really sorry.
That's a tight name.
Vladimir, right?
The first name, Vladimir Gilstrom.
Vladimir Gilstrom.
Gilstrom.
I'm an old vampire.
There's, like, lots of parentheses and, like... punctuation in this I do not know
the fucked up like
accents
like not fucked up but different alphabet
yeah. I would love to learn how to actually say these names, because I feel like they'd be cool ass names. I'm just fucking them up, so
no disrespect
with that. So Vladimir was known by the locals as the kiosk man.
Fuck
the kiosk.
That's your
kiosk.
Fucking reputation.
Wait, remind me one more time who Vladimir is again.
He's so the kiosk man.
Yeah, he's the kiosk man. He was one of the suspects as
oh,
we're getting
oh,
into.
Oh, what the kiosk man?
The kiosk
have done
man
it.
Was a suspect. So
like, hey, you kiosk man.
And he's like, me.
Yes, you. So he was thought to be eccentric, and everyone in town kind of feared him. He ran a kiosk near the lake, only 800 meters from the murder scene. Notably, he hated campers to a point of being outwardly hostile, becoming violent, and cutting down tents and throwing rocks at them.
Whoa! Why would you become a kiosk man, dude? Go look for a different
pretty
job.
Pretty much because he felt like he actively hated teenagers specifically, and I'll get more into this. But
old
like,
man Jenkins.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. Like, I'll get really into this in a second, but like... Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
You'll see why he, like, people are like, oh, that's kind of shady. Because, like, it's already known that he uses sharp weapons around tents and blunt objects.
And he just destroys campsites.
Yeah.
So he did it.
Children. So he did it. So the kiosk man did it.
Fucking kiosk man.
Fucking kiosk man.
Beware with the kiosk man.
So there was a book written by a politician in the town. His name is Ulf Johnson. The most regular name in all this. And that book is the one that I referenced earlier that I was using for this. It's titled Legend of Bodoms, Bodom, and it describes in depth how the locals felt and continue to feel about suspects in the case, specifically Vladimir. So pretty much the entire book is about Vladimir as a suspect.
So he did it?
We'll get to that.
Wait, this is unsolved, right?
Yes.
Oh my god, you guys. Where they're like, we've gotten rid of suspect A, B, but not C. But it
but
couldn't
he didn't
be
do
C.
It.
Yeah.
Kiosk man? Not guilty.
It could not be kiosk man. Why would it be kiosk man?
He has a history of violence, but not kiosk man.
So, at one point, Vladimir confessed to the killings and had details about the murder, but police dismissed it and said that he was a disturbed individual or simply drunk.
So disturbed that he recounted the details of a crime he supposedly wasn't at?
Yes. So even though he confessed to the murders, he did so on multiple occasions,
just
by
like
the way.
No red flags. He's just telling you he killed him. Nah, what?
Yeah.
He's just disturbed.
But every time that he did confess to it, he was both drunk and sober.
What?
Because he confessed to this multiple times. And he confessed to it sometimes when he was drunk and other times when he was completely sober.
So he did
it. The police did not believe him.
Dude, 60s police work is fucking garbage. I'm convinced everywhere, trash. Because they're like, it couldn't possibly be the most obvious answer. No, it must be someone else. Let's fucking Scooby-Doo this entire situation.
So the locals did not agree with the police, obviously. And they said that they saw him leaving the murder scene, but were too afraid of him to report it. So there was, like, eyewitnesses of him being there.
What the fuck, you guys?
Yo, that man left. He definitely murdered them. And they're like, no!
No way!
They're like, we're just saying, and you're not believing us. Like, we're trying to tell you something. They're like, what? Old man Jenkins, the kiosk guy? Never.
Well, never. And, like, he's Vladimir, like, quote, held the village in terror. So he,
but
would
he definitely didn't do it.
So hold on. He would shoot his shotgun at those who would drive near the kiosk. And since he knew teens would take apples off the tree near the kiosk, he would hide razor blades in them.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Also,
what is wrong with this guy?
Not want to make money. He's like, I will shoot you if you come near my place of business.
So I'll get a little bit more. I'll get a little bit more into how he
the Finnish
got
people
kiosk.
Are like, okay. No, you must not disturb the fucking
I like how you're British.
Man.
I
know.
British right now.
It's just like a random like roll of dice with my accents. But they're just like
90%
letting
this of the time you're British.
Yeah. They're just like letting this big bully like terrorize the town.
Pretty much.
Like what?
So Vladimir also had a well on his property that he mysteriously filled a few days after the murder.
So he put people's bodies in there?
Well, like locals felt that he had likely thrown the murder weapons into the well and then filled it.
Not that they would do anything with the murder weapons anyway.
But police searched the property and did not find anything incriminating. I don't think that they looked into the well too hard, though.
Did they check the well? Sounds like they should have checked the well.
He's like, you guys want a cup of tea? And they're like, oh, yes. Do you have any pastries?
So Vladimir is believed to be mentally ill and was admitted to a mental hospital when he was in the military. But it was never disclosed what he might have been suffering from.
Because they had no fucking idea because this is the 60s and they don't know what's going on.
Again, neither angry or scared. I have no idea.
The author of the book mentions this information would become public in 2019 when his medical certificate would be released. But at the time of writing this, I could not find any such form.
Damn, I was hoping you got it.
I sat there for hours looking for this thing. And if any one of our listeners can find it for me, I will love that. But like, I sat there and I could not find this form because I was like, I want to know what the fuck is going on with this guy. Because like, first of all, let's go back to our little thing about like, who's typically serial killers? He was in the military. So there's that. And then he was like, he has like an undisclosed, not really described, quote, mental illness.
Also tries to hurt people.
And it was also just really violent to teenagers and to anyone in general. Like, he would shoot a shotgun at cars that were passing by. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, nah, he doesn't deserve jail.
It's just Crazy Greg.
Crazy Greg.
I'm old Greg.
No. You can't drink Bailey's out of a shoe. Stop it.
I'm old Greg.
It's like Vladimir.
If you're curious about what we're talking about, though, like the following along with the serial killer shit, serial killer bingo on our website.
Serial killer bingo.
Go check out the fun stuff.
Namnab.com.
Yes. Linked in the description. What? Shameless plug? Yes.
Kind of going back to that whole thing. The only thing that was really recorded about these, quote, episodes he would have is intense violence that he would inflict on others, broken up by periods of calmer, more average behavior, where he was described as manipulative and inviting almost.
So like a serial killer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the exact pattern of a serial killer.
So if you want to go get that bingo card right now, you could probably get a few of them down.
About five or four.
Feel free to let us know in our Instagram, not a boogeyman, how many boxes you have currently.
Play with your weird friends. Make it a drinking game.
Yeah. Why not?
So some feel the police ignored further evidence and that proved his involvement that was never shared with the public. Because apparently they had some really incriminating shit on him that they just will not release.
Great.
And they just ignored it. And I'm like, what the fuck do you have more than what I have already listed that could possibly be any worse?
The like ridiculousness of how they're handling this crime almost makes me forget how bad and gruesome the crime itself was. And
don't worry. I'll go back to that. I'll go back to that.
Thanks. Man.
This is one where I was like, halfway through, I was like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm reading anymore. Especially when I get to the Nazis. Okay? Once I get to the Nazis, at that point, I just put my computer down and I was like, I'm done for today. Like, this doesn't make sense anymore. So, and like, the thing is, the Nazi isn't even the weirdest part of this. It goes further. It goes to the top.
It goes all the way to the fucking top.
Is there an undertone of racism?
There's Nazis, so yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I forgot about that. Wow.
Alexis is like, wow, I forgot about the goddamn Nazis. Me too, so until they said it again.
So, like, about what I was saying where they have more information, apparently one of the reasons that they didn't look into that a little bit more was a language barrier. In 1969, a friend of Vladimir worried he would be next to be killed. When he took over the kiosk from Vladimir.
Vladimir has friends.
That's a fucking loser really good has question. Friends.
Murderer has friends.
Why do murderers have more friends than I do?
You have two right here, bitch. Don't even try it.
It doesn't say
he had
much.
One. You have two. That's twice what he had.
Who even knows if it's a friend? He probably like abuses
it's
him.
Like a
yeah, he's like, I'm fucking terrified of that guy. So like,
well,
that.
I mean, he did think he was gonna die because he took Vladimir's job and took the kiosk from him.
Vladimir does not need to be working there.
No,
what does this
he
kiosk
really
provide?
I think it provided information, and I think it had to do with the lake.
So we shot at people who were like, oh, this is nice.
Like, literally, like, people would have to drive past the kiosk to get into the lake. And he would, like,
fuck you.
Pretty much. He, like, was like, I need to protect the lake. The lake is mine.
Okay.
He's
lad.
Like Gollum.
He's Gollum over the lake. That's exactly what I was about to say. I hate you.
We're the same person.
Gollum over the lake.
Gollum over the lake. My precious.
That should be the name of this episode.
Like, just sitting over a rock on the lake. Being
not
like,
to mention, he's confessed, you guys.
He did.
Like, he's confessed multiple times.
So now that his friend had Vladimir's job, like, he and Vladimir were not obviously on good terms. And Vladimir didn't really know what to do with his life. So the friend that took his job basically told Vladimir, quote, "If it is you who have done it, then I think you should drown yourself because you will spend the rest of your life in prison."
Or you could spend the rest of your life in prison like you deserve.
Yeah. So Vladimir drowned in the lake.
Okay, so he fucking did it.
You know what? That's not Vladimir drowned in Lake Bodom a few hours later.
So I thought.
And this was 9 years after the murder. It's taken 9 years to get to this point.
You can drown yourself if you weigh yourself down.
Did he weigh himself down?
I will get more into this.
Okay.
So police never tested Vladimir's DNA and felt it would be pointless to continue investigating him as a suspect because he was dead. When police questioned Vladimir's wife at the time of the murder, she provided an alibi that
he was shooting at random people. He had a wife.
Yeah. He had a friend and a wife. Wow.
Guys,
still further than me.
If you think you aren't like attractive and can't get wifey down, look, just think of Vlad.
Think of Vladimir.
Just think of
if Vladimir can do it, so can you.
He's the lake goblin.
The lake goblin. So she provided an alibi that she had been home with him the night of the murders and they had stayed up all night together. But before her death, Vladimir's wife recanted and she explained that Vladimir had threatened to kill her should she tell the truth that he had not actually been home.
So he did it. Why is every episode that you do me just going, "So he did it" in the background?
And then I come and fuck you up with more
this
information.
This like especially Scooby-Doo style.
It is.
It so is. It's like they're just like fumbling upon what's happening.
Yeah. So Vladimir is the most accepted suspect locally. And most people in this town are like, yeah, he fucking did it.
Yeah, he totally did it.
However, this is not where it ends. So a lot of suspicion has been given to another man in this case who has a really unfortunate name. His name is Hans Assmann.
Oh, that's a terrible name.
Yeah, that's poor guy.
Like A S S M A N N. I texted you guys about this like months ago.
I wish that was my name.
Yeah, I do not remember said text, but this is fucking hilarious.
Hans. So Hans was an immigrant from Germany to Finland who later moved to Sweden. Like Vladimir, there were books on Hans as a suspect in not only the Lake Bodom murders, but in two other unsolved murders as well. One including the death of a 17-year-old.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So he also had a vendetta against teenagers for some fucking weird reason.
Yeah. So police did not believe Hans could be the killer as he had an alibi for when the murders took place. He had told them he was in Germany.
They're so gullible. They're like, that sounds right.
Well, we can't prove if you're not in Germany.
Police did not investigate Hans despite arriving. But police did not investigate him. Hans had actually arrived that night of the murders at a hospital in Helsinki, Finland, when he said he was in Germany.
So it took like a little back checking and they're like, no, he was definitely in Germany.
Well, check
so when he showed up to the hospital, he was disheveled. He was being rude to hospital staff and his clothing was covered in red stains.
Great.
So he did it. I don't know who did it anymore, but someone did it.
The police are like, oh, those red stains are strange. Have you ever seen red stains like that before? What do you think it could be?
The doctors were sure these stains were blood, to answer that.
Yeah.
But when the police checked back with Hans, they did not confiscate the stained clothing.
It's apple juice.
And he had not surprisingly, been dressed similarly to the man leaving the scene of the crime. So the blonde man wearing red.
Was Vladimir blonde?
I actually didn't get a description from him. I think he was an older gentleman,
this
so maybe
so
white hair.
If that guy did it, the Nazi, because Vlad was just like, I did it. It is like a terrible person, so probably has killed someone, but
just not these kids.
Yeah, okay. The Hans guy is a piece of shit because he's a Nazi, but I'm not convinced he did it. I still think Vlad did it.
Oh, just wait.
Oh, am I gonna get convinced?
I don't know. So Hans had been dressed similar to the guy that left the scene. And then when the description of the man that was seen leaving the crime scene was released, he conveniently cut off all of his hair.
Okay, so he did it. It was him. It was the Nazi.
Who is that guy?
So
I've seen that man before.
to start this off, Hans is a very strange individual, like he's you find out later on in life. He called a police officer in 1997 to tell him his whole life story. He told the man that he had been a guard at Auschwitz and served in an SS troop in World War II.
Whoa.
Vomiting
everywhere.
He
fell in love with a Jewish woman, which made him disgusted with Nazism. He was discovered and sent to the front lines of the war, where he was captured by Soviet soldiers and put in a prison camp. He chose to become a KGB spy for the Soviet Union, and now I have no fucking proof of any of this, but it is a very widely accepted theory. That he was a KGB spy.
Confusing.
This is the story he tells this police officer in 1997.
Like, yo, dude, like, I'm a KGB spy. I'm really sorry. But, like, I'm a Russian spy.
I was a Nazi, but I fell in love with a Jewish woman, so it's okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're still a Nazi.
I still defected to the Axis powers for whatever fucking reason. Here we are.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
That totally makes sense,
what
right?
What would be the benefit in a lie like that?
That's a very elaborate lie.
Well, and like, as I said, I couldn't find any fuck. Like, when I said I came across so many Nazis with the name Ass Man, I was looking for some proof that this man existed within some Nazi regime. And I could not find anything of this man. So, like, this is really far-fetched to me. I don't think any of this is official. I think this is all bullshit. And if somebody can give me some proof, I don't know how you would find proof about somebody being a KGB spy. That would be cool. Can you send it to me? That'd be neat.
You said he was an SS officer. There was no proof that he was.
I couldn't find anything. Like, I think I found one name that was very similar, but I don't think it was him.
Yeah, you're right, though. Like, how many fucking Germans
Hans
in that time
are there?
Were named that?
Yeah. So, I have no fucking clue if this is real, but this is a really common thing that is mentioned in a lot of theories about this case, that he was a Nazi KGB spy. So, that's why they were saying, like, oh, he could have been a murderer for these reasons. I'm like, yeah.
He still murdered
somebody,
though.
There's still shitty people that don't need to be Nazis and KGB spies to kill people.
Yeah, stop being Nazis, okay? Anyone listening, stop being Nazis.
Stop being Nazis.
It's bad.
Okay.
Being a Nazi is bad, okay?
So, the well-accepted explanation now is that since Hans was an... this is, like, in line with, like, the weird mentality of, like, immigrants weren't very welcome in the town, so
in Finland they weren't welcome in the town.
Yeah, so they were saying because he had immigrated from Germany to Finland, that he was already very isolated and was kind of a recluse. And then there was the rumors of him being a KGB spy that basically people already thought he was weird. Mm-hmm. And then because he was thought to be a spy, people started treating him even worse. And they're like, well, that would make sense if he killed somebody. So that's why he's one of the suspects. It's like, people don't actually know if there's like a tie to him in this case, other than that the fact that he's a suspect in another two murders about teenagers. They're just like, yeah, he seems like the type to kill somebody. So that's why he's on this list.
I mean, he's a Nazi. So,
yeah.
So. I mean, I put nothing past a Nazi. So.
Moving on.
From the Nazi.
44 years after the murders, in 2004, 63-year-old Nils Gustafsson, who had survived the attack, was arrested, and the case was declared closed.
Whoa. Sorry.
What are your thoughts?
I've heard this before. So, like, I've heard this case before and, like, some of the endings, so I knew that was coming. But also, it's a little weird to me that you're the only surviving person in a murder. Was he injured?
Yeah. He had all that trauma to his face.
Yeah, just his face, though, not the rest of his body.
He suffered some, like, blunt trauma to his body as well. But it's, like, they're talking about to the extent of, like, his eye socket had been crushed.
You're good.
Oh, what did I miss?
Not
sorry.
Much.
Just not
talking
much.
About the Nazi.
Yeah,
and
how
now
it's
we're talking
not
about
real.
The final suspect.
Well, who was Nils?
Nils is the other teenage boy that
who survived.
That survived.
Was a suspect?
He was arrested.
He was just now arrested.
For being the murderer?
Yeah.
How
so
would it have been him?
Getting into that. That's all you missed.
Yeah, that's it.
Edit this out. Yeah. So, The Finnish National Bureau for Investigation declared that with new forensic analysis, they were able to determine that Nils had been drunk on the night of the attack and had been pushed out of the tent and attacked by Seppo, who broke his jaw, explaining the trauma to his jaw.
How did they come to that conclusion? You're getting there. I'm asking too many questions.
Okay. Nope, it's just not explained.
That makes no sense, but okay.
They're saying, like, he was drunk, so therefore this is what happened. They kind of started creating a narrative. So
you got to check those narratives.
Yeah. So the fight escalated and Nils murdered his friend as a result. Trial was held on August 4th, 2005. And Nils's lawyer argued that there was no way Nils could have killed three other people with the wounds he also obtained, and that his blood was also on the inside of the tent, showing that he had been attacked at the same time.
Does that show that? It was on the inside of the tent?
It was on the inside of the tent, like everyone else when they had been stabbed from the outside. They were saying, like, his blood was also on the inside, so it wouldn't make sense for him to be outside attacking them if his blood's on the inside of the tent.
I don't know who did it now, and I'm upset.
That, I feel like that's how every case I present goes.
That's pretty much it. I'm like, so everyone did it? All of them did it.
Mm-hmm. All of them at the same time.
But none of them.
I don't know that if that makes sense, though. Like, how was his blood on the inside of the tent if he was the attacker?
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
Why did they even consider that as an option in the first place?
Because he lived.
Because he lived. He was the only survivor.
But they were like, no, the Nazi wouldn't.
They didn't look at him to begin with.
Yeah. Well, none of the other two were, like, seriously investigated to the extent that Nils is right now. Like, there was no official investigation. Like, everyone was just like, oh, yeah, that crazy kiosk guy, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
He's just weird. And then
just seems like
the Hans Ass Man guy, they were just like, he's just a weird-ass Nazi. We have no proof, so they didn't really investigate him either. This is the first real investigation that's happened in the Bodom murders.
He's, like, brutally injured still. He's like, I didn't do it.
Pretty much. So,
And you said 43 years?
Yeah, this is 44 years later. That he was finally, like, arrested and going on trial. So, when...
You okay?
Yeah. However, prosecutors were looking into the shoes that had been found 500 yards away from the crime scene. The shoes belonged to Nils, and on them were the blood of the three murdered teenagers, but none of Nils' blood. The prosecutor argued that Nils must have commit the murders, taken his shoes off, and placed them down the beach, then inflicted the knife wounds to himself, since they were noticeably less severe than the others. They believe since his girlfriend, Mila, had been attacked the most severely, this could have been passion-driven, and shortly after the murders, Nils allegedly had told police officers that he had committed the crime and was quoted saying, what's done is done, I'll get 15 years.
Because that's a life sentence in Finland?
I didn't get...
I'm asking because that's often a life sentence in Europe. Seriously?
I actually didn't check on that. So
15 years?
I think it was also...
What kind of shit is that?
I was going to say, he's a minor, but he wasn't. He was 18 at this time.
What the fuck?
But they were saying that this, like, this quote was A, taken out of context, and B, it was dismissed as false perjury.
Do you think he did it?
I don't.
Okay. Are you going to tell me at the end who you think did it?
Yeah. So on October 7th, 2005, he was acquitted of all charges and found not guilty after there was insufficient evidence to convict. Nils was paid 44,900 euros for mental suffering, which is roughly about $49,000. And $49,700.
Where the fuck is my $49,700 for mental suffering of being
right?
a person?
You Where's have that? To go on trial for killing Les and I.
That's so exhausting. I'm
Please
tired
don't kill
already.
Les and I.
I would
so
never.
So he was rewarded for never. His trauma and killing people?
He didn't
well, he,
murder
the things
anyone.
He did.
Oh.
Yeah, he was acquitted entirely. So to this day, the Lake Bodom murders remain unsolved and used as a folktale to ensure that children do not stay out late near Lake Bodom out of fear of the Bodom killer because they believe he is still at large.
He's definitely dead by now.
He's definitely dead by now, because even Nels is like an old fuck now. So, yeah, I think Kiosk Man did it, to be completely honest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, like, why would he threaten his wife for an alibi why would he, like, they were saying, like, he confessed to it so many times and then he drowned himself.
Right.
And they were saying, like, he just launched himself into the lake and drowned himself. So, like, I think, personally, I think Kiosk Man did it. I think Vladimir did
He's
it.
He's definitely the only
I
man
I think
who did
Hans
it.
Is just a weird-ass person, and if he does, for some reason, have anything to do with this case, I want more information, and I might look a little bit more into that murder of the 17-year-old and bring it to us later for either a short episode or maybe for a special episode in a different location.
Yes. Sweet. Patreon.
But
let us know if you're interested in that.
Yeah. This is like one of those where it's like it's unsolved, and I can see why, because it's such shoddy police work where it's like there's literally no evidence. Like, they're like, oh, her pants were down, but they didn't check for any DNA. They didn't check for anything. Like, I can't find any notes on autopsy reports. They and like the fact that they even looked at Nels as a possible suspect is weird to me, just because of the amount of trauma he
endured.
Like, it's one thing if like maybe he like stabbed his forehead a little bit and like did all these things, but they're like, it's a very deep gash to his forehead. He like dragged himself, I think it was like 10 feet out of the tent, and then went unconscious from blood loss and from blunt force trauma. So like, it was not a small amount of trauma, and like his facial bones were like fractured. That takes a lot
of force.
A lot of force. And like, they couldn't figure out what exactly caused the trauma on each of these kids. But like, they were saying that like that girl had sustained the most injuries, and she was continuously stabbed even after she was dead. So
could
like,
you guys imagine how often this happens back in that day?
This is just like the '60s. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's not even that long ago, too. And like, when we think about crimes going even further back, it's like, fuck. They had no idea what they were doing.
And it's like, the kids that were bird watching, they changed their story like 4 different times. I want to say.
So they did it.
the 6-year-old kids.
They did it.
Because they were
all
like,
"You guys are perfect witnesses."
They were like, oh, yeah, we saw Nels, and then because they were brought to testify, but they couldn't even remember. And then, like, on the...
What's a 6-year-old on the stand?
Well, and this is 44 years later, but there were 6-year-olds at the time. And also, like, people were trying to say that to, like, corroborate the whole he was drunk thing, and that he had started a fight, and that's why he got his jaw broke, and then he killed all of his friends. They try to say like, oh yes, we're bringing a woman to the stand to testify that he was drunk and came by her campsite and harassed her. And she, like, this at no point had come up before, and she only came forward with this information for this, like, now for this trial. And it didn't make any sense because it had never been brought up before.
I'm with you. I think Vlad did it.
Yeah.
Vladimir the vampire.
That makes the most sense.
It does too.
Like, the fact that he, like, attacked tents that were already there, and he would like put fucking razor blades and apples on a tree to make sure the kids got hurt. That shows me, like,
what
doesn't give a fuck about other people. And like, the whole, like, I would be very interested to see his file that talks about his mental health, because you said it would be released. Where the fuck is it? I want to see it.
Right, it's 2020 now, bitches. Give that to us.
Show me the files.
But yeah,
disgusting,
fucking crazy
camp. Yeah. What was it called again?
Lake Bodum.
Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah, Camp Crystal Lake.
It was Jason.
Okay,
Vladimir the Jason.
Yeah, right. Come back next week. We're gonna have some interesting shit for you, like always. So come back.
Keep up.
Follow us on Instagram at Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman on Instagram
and Twitter
at also Not a Boogeyman. Or go to our website at namnab.com to see our blog post where I'm going to show some fucked up pictures about this case.
Whoa.
Or join our book club, because that's cool.
Yeah. And if you got a case for us, we're always open to suggestions. Email us at notamonsternotaboogeyman@gmail.com. Please. We'll be back next week with another crazy story for you.
Get ready for some fucked up shit, my dudes.
Always. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.